Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman, hope you well. How's the fasting going?
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah, everything's fine and in Pakistan. A little bit of a problem with the load shedding, and the entire city low with gas. So even during the time of iftar and sari, but our great president and prime minister tried to reassure the people that although the load shedding will not stop, at least it will stop during the time of sari and iftar. So we have very good news, and we expect 100% effort from our politicians and other leaders.
and you just gave us some inspiration, and you may say, but how is that inspiration? It's inspiration for us, because South Africa, we had load shedding for now how many years, and we remarked the 300-day mark, no load shedding. That was like a celebration, and then they went a little bit further, and then they gave us a shock load shedding moment. So by listening to that, you know, like, that's the lesson of fasting, if you see in the Quran Sharif, in verse 183 of Surah Al-Baqarah, that, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O people of Iman, kutiba alaykumus-siyam, fasting has been prescribed upon you, kama kutiba alalladhina min qablikum, just the way it's been prescribed upon those that came before you. So it's like, gives you that inspiration. You don't only have to fast, those who came before you also had to fast. So we're not only subjected with the load shedding, you also, Pakistan, we never thought load shedding existed in Pakistan.
Oh, please stop. Stop, please. I'm here 31 years, and every year, whoever's in charge, president, prime minister, whoever, swears that this will be the last year of load shedding, electric. And it hasn't happened, that is the thing here. Load shedding is like a way of life. All right. The load shedding, you don't find the load shedding for electricity in the wintertime. Okay. But the gas load shedding you find in the wintertime. And that's when you really need your gas to heat up water and what have you. But in the summertime, that's when you have your load shedding, when you need your air conditioner. Okay. And other things. So, yeah, no, we have it here. And now, again, every leader says every year, this is the last year for load shedding.
Okay. And is it only during Ramadan or just throughout the year?
Well, generally the electricity load shedding is throughout the year, and again, gas load shedding is normally in the winter. Okay, and so the winter is just ending. It's right on time. It's on schedule for that.
Okay, and I just wanted your insight on this. So we've been speaking a lot recently as well about Trump and how he says South Africa is anti-American and this and that. Now there's this, while we're on this topic of electricity, so he's got his executive orders. I don't know how many he signed already. But one of the latest ones was an order to freeze funding to South Africa. And people have said, like, this is a turning moment, and we should be... Is this like a threat to say that, see, we have been helping you, we've been funding you, now you've turned away from us and this and that, so we're freezing your funds. And we spoke about the AIDS. So that we were happy about. We say, just take out your old, the US and the rest, they started this whole AIDS thing. So with that, we don't feel much threatened about. But this electricity thing now, it's making it clear this is some personal issues. and taking out his frustration, saying he's going to freeze funding to not just South Africa, but to Africa.
Yeah, well, Trump is, even his own supporters are a little disappointed in him. It seems like he's, Trump is being Trump, overreacting and, as what did he say, America first, you know, type of situation. But nowadays, you can't be America first. You can't be South Africa first. You can't be anything first because it's so global. You know, all the big companies are global. All right. Everybody's just, what, a village. Huh? They call the big world or just one big village. But Trump's trying to bring it back to when America was great, or greater than it is now. Mm. And he's trying, but it can't be. It won't succeed. There's only 300 million people there, and they act like they are the whole world. They're policemen for the world, and they set the standard for the world. And when they're in so much debt, and there's so many problems with racism within their country, and violence and murder and what have you. It's a joke, but it got him in office. Talking like this got him in office, and now he's trying to do something. But again, many people are not satisfied, even his own Republican Party. They're giving too much power to Elon Musk, your friend. Okay. And Musk has sent out letters to government workers asking them, what did you do last week or last month that justified your existence? And why shouldn't you be fired? And this type of stuff. And why do you want to pick on a government worker? A government worker compared to a private industry is he makes much less money. Less money. Yeah. Okay. Less benefits, what have you. And well, so why are you picking on those people? They have families also. Yeah. I don't know.
But it sounds good because those workers will then hate what they are doing, and just more and more people are going to turn against them, and that's beneficial for us, I think, in the long term.
Well, it's not pulling the country together. Before you just had the minorities that were mad at Trump, but now you have his own core voting bloc. They're mad at him also. In one way, he is reuniting America. Everybody hates him. Not just the minorities. White people hate him also.
That's a good way to put it. Unity on hating him.
Yes, unity on hate.
Something
we... love for Allah and hatred for Allah. That's what a Muslim has to be. But the American, you hate the president.
There's two inspiring incidents that took place between yesterday and today. Probably you heard the one. This is in Washington. They were watching a U.S. theater. So there were two, I think it was just a couple. Maybe they privately booked the place or whatever. So they were watching one of their favorite movies, perhaps Captain America, Brave New World. And they were enjoying it, and all of a sudden, the ceiling came down. Everything started, falling apart. And firefighters came. They found a large section of the ceiling. It was caved in, wooden planks all over the place, broken tiles. So analysts, they have said and they've hinted, yes. You know how people take out, like how you take out jewels from incidents. So they said, see, the movie that was playing here was Captain America, Brave New World. And what happened? That pride and arrogance, America, America, America. In this satanic hub, it came down crushing. So who knows? Perhaps this is just some good news before the real news comes. And
well, I've heard about about this Captain America, and I see that a black man is playing Captain America this time around. And when I was a child, I used to read that magazine, that comic, Captain America. And he's a white man, all right? And he stood, you know, for America, everything good about America, just like Superman. Superman was white. Captain America was white, you know. Maybe if I was in America, I would be thinking like this, why did this have to happen now when they made a black Captain America? You know, we fought in the 60s, you know, to have more black representation in comics and in movies and have black heroes. Okay, so now you have a black hero who's an American hero, and, you know, this is what's happening, you know, to America. It's not a good sign. I mean, black people will be a little bit ashamed of what's going on right now.
Hmm. So you think it's it was a planned?
It could be. I mean, Muhammad Ali created a boxer, you know, he when he was a heavyweight champion in the 60s, yeah, he would always speak about that. So, you know, why everything good is white and everything bad is black. You know, black male, black magic, you know, white is good. Tarzan was white. You know, Superman was white. All right. The bad guys in the westerns would wear black hats. The good guys would wear white hats. You know, so it took a long time for them to have a black Captain America. I mean, we never felt like we were part of America, black people. All right, you brought us over there in slaves, all right, then you free us, and then you guys give us so many laws so we have the same rights that you have. Okay, I think it was the 14th Amendment that freed the slaves, and the 15th Amendment gave them the right to vote. But if you're an American, you have the right to vote. Well, why did blacks need a right to vote when they became free? okay? There's so many other laws and what have you. And so we're always behind the eight ball. Mm. And, you know, everything, again, when we watch television and movies, and the white man was always in the middle of Africa, right? Tarzan in the middle of Africa, although it was filmed in California. And he's the only white person there, and he can speak to all the animals, and he can solve all the problems. And the Africans who've been there for thousands of years, they didn't know anything. They're still running around half naked and, you know, oonga boonga and this other kind of stuff. Hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing
I don't get it for a different area. I'm a different eyesight. I'm so real surprised as heck. Yeah, to see a black Captain America. Never thought that would happen.
Anyway, yeah, so there's you can just add a footnote to this discussion, this particular one. We as Muslims, we're fasting, and we're doing a great action, which is Allah says, this fasting is done for me, and I will give the reward for this fast. So it's like, you know, you did this, you give payments to everyone, but for that person who does this particular action, you tell him, no, your reward is with me, you come privately, I'm going to give it to you. So fasting is, it's got a special status. But we're ruining our fasts with watching TV, movies, videos, YouTube, all of this, you know, just extinguishing this beautiful fast. The light of it that's in it.
Paddleball. Yeah. Paddleball people.
Yes, it's a craze. People are going wild. And
yeah. Incredible.
Is everything okay there, Mufti Saab? I hear some.
Yeah.
I hope no one's.
Yeah, well, I hope no one's being arrested right now.
It sounds like a baseball bat.
Or anything like that.
It sounds like someone's hitting you with a baseball bat.
We're safe. I love it. Very little crime in Ramadan. Hmm. Okay. Very little, you know, a lot of very little police activity.
Yes.
Other than collecting bribe money.
Maybe
so they can have money for Eid.
Yeah. Maybe they're fasting. So they...
No, they're probably sleeping.
Yeah, so...
Most people are sleeping now. Okay. Many places are closed, and so a lot of schools are closed and what have you. So people are sleeping because they're up at night. We eat on the night shift in Ramadan. As a matter of fact, we eat 4 times in Ramadan and 3 times outside of Ramadan. Okay? And we eat 4 times within the time that it is dark. Okay? So, but when it is light, we're sleeping. So yes, it's less quiet.
So the shops also, they operate during the nights.
Yeah, and many, especially like the milk shop, and roti shop, the chai shop, are open 24 hours. Well, not 24 hours, but yeah, the whole night, the whole night from Maghrib to dawn.
Okay.
Yeah. Then you'll play. Maybe you'll pray Fajr. Most people will pray Fajr because they've been up. They're up, and Fajr's early. And right after that, when you go out and you, since there's no traffic, you go out and you play cricket in the street. Okay, for about an hour or two, and then you go home. You sleep till Zuhr.
Cricket has to feature somewhere there, like how you said, our pedal. That's your cricket. It's all about
and the Afghans, you know, because I live around all these chai shops, and you know, all the Afghans are here, and they're big into cricket now. They didn't play cricket during Taliban and what have you in Afghanistan, but over here they're big into cricket.
I saw something yesterday. Let me just get this. It's one of the Afghanis. They into, I think, bodybuilding. And yeah, so here's it, yeah. So this is, it's mentioned or it's reported on Bakhtar. It's an Afghan website. So they said Afghan bodybuilder Ali Bilal, he has secured first place at the 2025 Arnold. So you know Arnold, what's his name? One of these. Yeah. So he acquired first place in the bodybuilding competition. And they say this victory adds to his growing list of achievements. Now I'm a bit I'm stunned that he actually took part in this competition.
It's funny about Arnold. You know, Arnold was a bodybuilder. He's originally from Austria. Okay, they call him German, Austrian. I came to America with no money and was a bodybuilder. And, you know, bodybuilders use steroids and other, you know, growth hormones and things like this. So he won, I think, Mr. Universe title something like 7 times or it was a record. Whatever it was, 7 or 8, 9 times he won it. And then later became an actor. Okay, and then he became the governor of California, and then the one president made him like the spokesman for physical fitness. Okay, so someone who's been on steroids and got his bodybuilding due to being on steroids and hormones was in charge of the physical fitness in America. This is America. This is a hypocrisy. Okay, it is a hypocrisy. So there were people when I was in college, white people, who they didn't play sports, but the boys would take these steroids and growth hormones, do a cycle of that, and have a big chest, big arms, just to walk on the beach. Okay, not to play basketball or football or anything, just to walk on the beach with their girlfriend. And they'll have their girlfriend walk in front of them. But I used to live in Coney Island, which is a beach, okay, amusement park over there. And you see a girl in a swimsuit, okay, very lovely, wearing high heels, okay, walking down the boardwalk, and everybody's looking at her, looking, 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 and you wait 10 seconds later, and you see this guy, no shirt on, you know, and just a brief, you know, very big, strong guy. He's just waiting for someone to talk to his girl so he can go beat him up. Hmm. So this was like inspired by Arnold Schwarzenegger. Get yourself a big body and you'll be able to protect your woman, and all the other women will, you know, love you and hold on, you know, want to squeeze your biceps and everything.
But there's
how did he get his body? Not by hard work. He got his body by using steroids.
Mm. So it's practically nothing in there. It's just something like a balloon. You just blow it and it gets big. But if you just use a pin to prick it, it bursts.
Yeah, it gets heavy. Your arms get heavy, so you can't do much work. And the muscles are not developed because you don't work on the muscles. You just have it there for sight. And after some time, it turns into fat.
Hmm. And it's you can't make it stinger.
Yeah. Well, in the past, it was only white people that were into bodybuilding. When they started doing, especially when they're doing sweat steroids, because one thing about it causes genital shrinkage.
Hmm.
Okay? And, you know, black people, we have a little pride with, you know, our manhood. We don't want anything that will make that get smaller. Okay? We only want that to get bigger. So you can find minorities that did it too much.
But this is something that's common, as you've mentioned, that a lot of people, they're not fit for that particular job or what they're supposed to be representing. It's like you get these fashion or models, or you'll say, you know, the woman of the country. What do they call them? It's they've got a particular title for it. So you'll say there's a particular term they use, and they will say that this is the woman of South Africa, and you'll get one for the world. Then what's the title that they give?
Oh, I don't know.
So anyway, whatever it is, it's just not clicking now. But in South Africa, if you just take South Africa alone, they so they have it occasionally. I don't follow these things. So the person who applied and was almost going to be that particular woman, she was not from South
Africa. Like a Miss America, Miss South Africa, yes. Like this beauty pageant.
Yes, exactly. So Miss South Africa, but then she couldn't get further. They were scratching in her profile and they found that she's actually from one of these other countries, I think Nigeria. So it was a big twist.
She cried over there.
So you find it in so many. I recall when we were younger, not to say we're old, I'm just saying when we were younger. So they on Facebook, they used to have this, who is the best looking man? So coincidentally, the person, now it was one of our circles, one of the males in there. So he applied for it and everything. Later we came to find out he won. But then we realized that the person, the judge, so what people had to do is they had to send in their faces, all this haram pictures, all of this. And then the judges will decide who is the actual winner. But the person who was the judge was that person who won, his first cousin. So
keep it in the family. That sounds like a Pakistani contest.
It's all about who you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Not what you know.
Only two things are run in this country. One is rishwat. Bribery, and the other is sources, knowing someone, having connections. Without that, you don't get anything done. And that's what the people believe.
Hmm. Last question before we leave you. There's a question, can we fast and then break our fast, of course, after dates and everything, and then we have Coke.
That's how I used to break my fast 50 years ago. In America, that's how we started. But no, that's not right, because Coca-Cola is haram. So no, you can't do that. Sorry, there's alcohol in Coca-Cola, so you can't break your fast with it, and you can't drink it when it's not Ramadan or when it's not iftar, because it's haram. Something more morality side has been leading the charge with for about 40 years now, and people are starting just now to realize how he was right. But
the truth comes
you
out.
Cannot do that. It's sad. For so many years, even the ulama said that no, Coke says that there's no alcohol. There's no alcohol. There's no alcohol. There's no alcohol. Now we find out, yes, there is definitely alcohol. So now the ulama say, well, it's not from dates or grapes. So therefore, this is the type of alcohol that's permissible to drink. So anything to admit that morality side was correct.
And
don't find a loophole.
Just to end off, as you're speaking now, I'm just thinking that even if there was doubt in it, there was doubt in it. Definitely by everybody there is doubt in. They themselves say there's an ingredient in there which they don't disclose. So before it was cocaine, that's its roots. So now they say they've changed it. But just this alone, the fasting is supposed to bring about taqwa. And by doing this, you confuse still, and maybe you haven't seen the evidences yet. Still too, your taqwa is supposed to say, I'm supposed to refrain from anything that is doubtful, because this is going to have a effect on my iman, and when this is the month where I'm supposed to be developing my taqwa, I'm killing it.
Yes, it should be, but most Muslims were not like that. I remember the days where we used to have the Eid namaz in Prospect Park, a very big park in Brooklyn, and most of the masjids did not have Eid namaz. Everybody closed down the masjid, and they did it like they were supposed to in one place, and it was in Prospect Park. And as soon as it was over, so Ramadan, so Eid al-Fitr, so people, the Muslims, would run to McDonald's, because McDonald's was right nearby, and having food right after Eid namaz, after fasting for 30 days, having supposed to develop your self-control and your taqwa. So yeah, I understand what you're saying, and it's bad memories. Bad memories for me.
Allah make it easy. Mufti Sahib, we appreciate your time. Jazakumullah khairah. Make dua for us at the time of just before iftar. We also encourage all our listeners, there is a critical time. Put the samosa one side and make dua for us, for the ummah as well.
The average time over here is about 15 minutes. You need 15 minutes for iftar. Yeah, and some places it's more.
Okay. Allah make it easy.
So if you just do dates and water, then it only takes you 15 seconds.
Then you can read, make dua, I mean, because you still have to wait for the salah. Anyway, Mufti.
Yeah, and the people come to you. Here the people will come to you. Why aren't you eating? They put food in front of you. Right. Even with your hands up and, you know, in the praying position, in the dua position, people still, some people will even put a
date in your hand
or something like that in your hand while you're making dua.
Mufti, I'll just leave you with this note. Nigeria currently, they are making us proud, alhamdulillah. They are arresting people who are not fasting. Even people with wrong haircuts, they're arresting them. I read this article now on the BBC. In fact, one of our engineers sent it to us. and they are not Muslim.
They're being arrested for bad fashion?
Yes, and they are arrested also for if they're wearing a pants above the knee. So this is quite something. I'll send it to you.
Okay.
All right.
If you cover your head, then they can't see your bad haircut.
They'll take it off. It's Nigel. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum wa salam.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.